It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We are live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to the show, everyone. As you know, it's Wednesday, and our guest today will be Steve Post. We'll have him check in with us here in a little bit. A lot to talk about, and don't know where to start, to be honest with you. I think we'll just start off with talking about the race last night. Justin Grant wins at Kokomo. Austin, I know you had a chance to watch that race. We watched it here just a little bit ago, but what a great battle between Justin Grant and Robert Ballew last night. Man, that was good stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, you know, one of the, well, the best race of the night, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, we saw, you know, what we saw at Tulsa, then we saw a little rubber at Davenport. But, no, I think that was probably the best race. And, you know, Kokomo never disappoints.
Right.
It was good to finally see Sprint Week kind of going again. And, it was actually just a good night overall. Nothing really to complain about. But, like I said, I think Kokomo is one of the best non-wing tracks they go to, and it just solidifies itself why it's that good.
That was his 25th career win at Kokomo. He that tied him with Dave Darlan and John Stambrough. And when you're in the category with Dave Darlan and John Stambrough, you're
yeah, I mean, that's, you know, two of the best sprint car drivers to ever race, you know, with USAC. So, yeah, I mean, if you could put your name up there, I mean, that's definitely something you wanna, you know, have to your name. But yeah, I mean, anytime you can put your name with those two and say you're just like them, that's you know, a career maker.
For some reason, I'm not hearing myself through my microphone. Oh, there we go. No, it's all in how you wiggle the cord.
No, it's our button.
It was your button up there?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so I don't know. What do you think happened there last night? We had Justin Grant leading the race. Robert Ballew was running second. He was putting the pressure on. And I think they did that probably for about 10 laps. Robert Ballew and Justin Grant, but then Cummings started to get up in there and started to mix it up with them a little bit, and that made it really interesting when you put three cars battling for the lead.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, Justin and Robert ran side by side for, you know, majority of that race and
forever.
You know, it was really good because, you know, Kokomo always really builds a really good curb.
Right.
And usually it's pretty dominant, but the middle was really dirty, and I was surprised to see Robert get that kind of a run through there and to make it work as long as he did. And usually you start running down there and it lasts, you know, a handful of laps and it gets blown off. So for him to run, I think it was probably 10 to 12 laps down there and run side by side with him was really good. And I just think at that point, you know, maybe Ballew, you know, got his stuff, you know, worn out and I think he
overdrove the car a little bit.
Yeah, the car might have just went away. And if you notice, you know, there was one of the times they caught, there was a camera shot off the front stretch to the cars on the back stretch, and you saw Robert lock the left front up. You know, it was in the air, but still, you know, you lock it up, you're on the brakes. So what that kind of tells me, if he was a little tight too. So maybe at some point the car was just, you know, a little too tight and he was having to compensate for it, and it just, you know, made him use his stuff up. So and it just pretty much, you know, allowed Grant to keep the momentum up on the top and
right. And
just, you know, drive away from them.
You know, it seems to me that Robert was working the bottom and the middle a little bit harder, and Grant was just railing it around on the top. Do you think that – you think just trying the middle and the bottom, it's just too hard when a guy's really got the momentum up on the top side like Grant had last night?
Yeah, you can make it work, but you have to be dead on perfect every lap to make it work,
right,
and not have Grant, you know, not make mistakes.
Right.
You know, so it's definitely tough, and especially when the track is that, you know, good, top to bottom. Anytime you can carry momentum at Kokomo, and it shows how big and sweeping the corners are, that
right,
the guys that can do that are going to be fast. And you know, maybe it would be a different story if the track wasn't as heavy. Not, it wasn't really heavy, but it was wet in certain
right
areas. So if maybe if it was a little slicker, that the bottom maybe would have been there. But still, I mean, it wasn't like we were sitting here trained up on the top.
Right.
You know, we had, you know, sliders and whatnot, and I'm just, you know, maybe a little, you know, adjustment here and there on some track prep can make it even better. But if you don't do anything like that, it's great the way it is.
Dave Tyson brought this up here. Was that the race of the year for the USAC non-wing sprint cars, do you think? It's got to be right up there in the top five, doesn't it?
I would say so. Out of the ones that I watched, I think it was really good. You know, if I remember right, Port Royal was pretty good with the champ car and then with the sprint car. But yeah, I mean, I think you have to put that up there within the top three, or maybe on the low side, top five. But yeah, that was definitely one of the best races we've seen so far.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Where would you rate Justin Grant when it comes to non-wing sprint car drivers? Would you rate him in the top five
of current drivers?
Current drivers that are racing right now.
I think you have to. I
do too.
I think, you know, Brady could be number one. You could probably put Ballou two.
Right.
Grant
third.
Yeah, I guess you could say you could put Justin Grant third. Let me pull up who our non-wing drivers are and see.
Well, is C.J. Leary one of the guys, you think, maybe?
Yeah, I definitely think you can't count him out at all.
Right.
You know, he can go from, you know, being upside down at Gas City and then next night rebuild the whole car and win at Circle City. So, you know, not everybody can rebound that way and you know, just be consistently, you know, fast and up front. So, yeah, I think Grant, Ballou, Bacon, and C.J. Leary are your top four right now. I mean, it reflects in the points, too.
I'm going to throw in one other guy that's always really fast when it comes to qualifying, Mitchell Bowles.
He can qualify really well.
That guy can qualify, man. He is so good at qualifying. But unfortunately, last night wasn't good for him. He was running second and got to the wall there early in that race.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he, at some point, you know, his streak of good luck was going to end. It happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, it's nothing but impressive what we've seen out of him the first three nights of Sprint Week. And, you know, it's just, it's cool to see someone, you know, come from winning the Tulsa Shootout, you know, years ago to getting a shot in a midget and then now a sprint car and making the most of it. And I think, you know, this is not, you know, all we've seen in Mitchell Moles, you know, he'll have one bad night, but, you know, watch, he'll go out here and string five of them, you know, together and,
right,
and, you know, pick up some more wins.
Some of the future drivers, first of all, I don't want to leave out KTJ, right? Kevin Thomas Jr. He's got to be close to the top five, I would think. Wouldn't you think that he's right, hovering right in that area, KTJ?
Yeah, I guess you could say Kevin, you know, but he stepped out of full-time, you know, non-wing racing and went and tried running with the All-Stars, and it still does, that doesn't mean he's not good. I think this year, I think if he would have ran, we would be talking about him, but yeah, we've seen it in years past that he's been a contender and he's won some big events with USAC. So yeah, I definitely could say, you know, in the past couple of years, he would be in the top five.
Future drivers that could be in the top five, I'm going to say it right now. I think that Ryan Timms, Emerson Axum are some of the guys that are going to be future stars. Would you agree with me on that one?
I think Axum's going to stick around USAC non-wing racing more than Timms will.
Because he's going to go down the road.
Yeah, Timms will just, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Timms run, you know, either full-time with the All-Stars or the Outlaws next year.
Or maybe NASCAR in the end.
Yeah, but that's
where that's, the money's at.
That's a long ways away still. But,
yeah.
You know, in the immediate time, I think you could see him running full-time with the Wing Sprint Car Series. And, you know, I think Emerson Axum's, you know, hooked up with Clawson Marshall, which is, you know, solely a USAC team besides, you know, Sunshine Sprint Car Team, but our Wing Sprint Car Team. So
right.
I definitely think he'll be one to contend with here in the coming years. I think you'll see Tim's whenever he steps into a non-wing car, but I think for being a full-timer, I think, you know, you just got to keep your eye on Emerson Axum.
Right. Tammy chimed in. She said, "Happy Wednesday, boys. Through the beauty of streaming, I got to watch 5 different features last night. The USAC feature from Kokomo was the best," and I would agree with that as well. I didn't watch the late model races like I should have last night, to be honest with you. I just didn't do it because I got locked into watching. Here we go. Are you ready for this one? I probably watched one of the worst races I've seen in a long time last night at Tulsa Speedway. Would you agree with that one, Austin?
Yes, that was awful.
That was a terrible, terrible race last night. To be honest with you, I hate to say this, but I wouldn't go back there.
I think a lot of drivers and teams
feel the same.
Yep, feel this exact same way.
Yeah. It was a dust bowl, and they were all putting around in the bottom last night. Tim Crawley picked up another win during Speed Week. But that track was just shit last night.
Yeah, I'm just glad it didn't take rubber. So, you know, what I was talking about yesterday on the show came true, that it wouldn't, or my hope came true. But we got, you know, shot with something just as worse. Just one lane on the bottom with a ton of dust. So,
and it's so narrow.
It's just, I don't know.
They need to widen. If they do anything to that racetrack, they need to widen it out, don't they? Isn't it too narrow, Austin?
I'm not gonna.
Is it narrower than Double X?
I think it's pretty close to the same. I haven't been there in person,
but Double X races a lot better.
It races so much better when Double X is done right.
Right.
I don't know. I they just got more issues than they could probably handle and count on one hand. So, you know, they went out there and ran hot laps, and you know what it looked like on the stream. It was really slick and hot laps, not grease slick. Track was already slick,
just slicked off.
And it's hot laps, and you know you haven't had 70 cars on it maybe,
right?
And it's already gone. I mean, that's just you're never gonna recover from that, just the way, you know, the weather was. And also too, their surface isn't that great either, from what I've been told from people that went down there. It's just different type of dirt, I guess. That's just not,
it's not very
for
good dirt
or just racing at all.
I respect Tim Crawley tremendously, 100%. I totally respect Tim Crawley. But he was being pretty nice to the track last night, wasn't he? When he said, "Oh, I'm not going to get on about the racetrack because it was 110 degrees all day today." Does that make any difference to you? I mean, I get it. It's windy and it's hot. And he said they watered the track all day. Your thoughts on that? I think there could have been a little bit better effort. Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't there all day to watch them work on it, though.
No, I wasn't either, so we're just speculating, I guess. But
I think what they needed to do is open that up, put some water in it, and then roll it back in. I think that's what they should do.
Yeah, I mean, it's built next to the drag strip, so I'm not sure, you know, if the drag strip crew's the one working on it or if it's, you know, somebody that knows anything about dirt racing. Right. I'm not sure, but yeah, we could sit here and talk all day about things they could do. I mean, it's just not
right.
Good. I mean, I'm not like I don't want to say I'm a loss for words for it, but I'm like, it's just, I have never seen anything just that bad before.
Yeah, no, it wasn't good.
And even to add on to that, they didn't have a tire truck down there. And
well, listen, I'm not going to get on that.
No, but I mean,
because everybody's dealing with tire issues right now.
Yeah,
right?
But if you're not going to have a tire truck, you got to do your part and give them a surface better than that.
Right. Don't make me go down there and burn up four tires.
Yeah, and right? You know, if we're going to run Speed Week here for a week, take us to tracks that are going to be good for right. Our teams, and don't make us go out here and burn tires up. And I mean, shoot, we've canceled almost 5-6 races this year because we can't have tires.
Right.
So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
So, I'm going to repeat what Scotty Cook just said on here. He said, also, a water truck broke down yesterday, and the replacement didn't arrive till 5:30.
Well, that sounds like double X to me sometimes.
Well, you know what? If that's the case, I'm going to give them a little bit of a break. Right? Let's give them a little bit of a break if the water truck broke down yesterday, and we'll say that they weren't able to water the track as much as they would hope to water the racetrack.
And then at what point, so if your equipment's broke down and you can't properly prep the track, at what point do you just go ahead and cancel the night?
You can't do that. All the teams are there. You can't do that.
Well, you just gave them a track like that, and I can tell you, not all of them are happy with what they got and don't want to go back. So
right.
Do you race it, make them all mad and not want to go back, or cancel it and, you know, have a couple teams mad that you canceled, but
right.
Also know that you just saved a bunch of equipment and money for your teams?
Yeah, but I'm not one to cancel a race when all the teams are at the racetrack. Scotty also mentioned, he said, need to haul in some new clay in there. And I think it would be racy. It's not narrower than double X, narrower than double X. That's what he said. So anyway, I don't know. I've never raced on either one of them, so I can't tell you. But it wasn't much fun watching that race last night, though. I think that's the point it was getting to. You know, when you sit there and you look at the race that was there, and you see a guy like Blake Hahn, and I don't know where he ended up finishing. Let me see where he finished. I think he ended up running seventh or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Blake Hahn, Blake, where is that? I guess I'm drawing a blank. He ran sixth in his heat race. That's why he had to start towards the back of the field. And when you have a track like that, you're not going to work your way to the front, right? There's no chance. I think he started 18th. He ended up running ninth. Blake did.
Yeah, you wiped out three cars on the first, or two. No, you only wiped out one. No, you wiped out two cars on the first lap. Two others came back through. And then he got by a couple other cars, but I mean, when you're national tier champion,
right,
can't drive up through the field, that's not good. And we saw it in the and you know, while watching the race too, you know, Dale Howard tried to move to which would be the second lane,
mm-hmm.
and it was dust, and he couldn't go anywhere. And the only way he would have been able to get by Crawley is if it was lap traffic.
If Crawley messed up.
Yeah, and Tim's done it forever, and he doesn't make
veteran.
Hardly any mistakes. So,
right.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, it just wasn't good.
It is what it is. All right. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and take our break, and we'll have Steve Post come on with us here in just a moment. When we get done with Steve Post, we'll talk a little late model action that happened this week as well. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with Steve Post from Wing Nation and MRN in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And joining us now on the show is our twin brother from a different mother, Steve Post. The Postman joins us now. How you doing, Steve?
I am fantastic, Scott. I am headed to the beach with my daughters for a few days. So a few days off here. Looking forward to it, yeah.
How about that? Now, how old are your daughters, Steve?
Mine are 21 and 24.
Ah, so they're still pretty young then, right?
Yeah, still pretty young, but I'm fixing to go empty nest here, at least for a short period. My older one's going to India for 2 months in a couple of weeks. And my younger one's going back to college, so we need to sneak away and get a few days of beach time. So it's all good. Really looking forward to a few good days, that's for sure.
You know, you and I are kind of alike. We both have daughters, right? And because this is mostly motorsports, so we get off topic a little bit here. So, and let's do that just for a second. What do you think was the most difficult period raising your daughters? For me, it's when they turned 14 until they were about 20 something. I don't know if you ever had a bump in the road with daughters, but I did a little bit because I'm kind of an asshole, you know. Sometimes I can be that way. So, did you have any rough period with your daughters growing up at all?
No, you know, Scott, I didn't. I really was fortunate. We spent a lot of time. Juggling with me traveling all the time.
Right.
And so they spent a fair amount of time with their grandparents, and then they spent some time with their mom as well. And but in general, I've been pretty much a single dad with them along the way. And we really haven't had any rough patches. I mean, we've had accidents where one of them, you know, knocked herself silly, falling off a skateboard.
Right.
You know, we've had different things like that. But,
right.
You know, I mean, I don't think that's, I mean, I think it's traumatic in the moment. But, you know, really, it's been really, really amazing how good things have been as we put it all together. Yeah, there's moments and, you know, there's moments when you know, the natural course of things happen and I'm frustrated and they're frustrated. And,
yeah. Right.
That sort of thing. But honestly, overall, I mean, it's like, I've been really fortunate. I've not had any major bumps in the road at all.
Well, you know, I always kind of tried to preach to my daughters a little bit about how they should be when they grow up and whatnot. And I think that rubbed on them a little bit. So let me ask you this, Steve, do you ever regret not having a son?
No,
never.
Not at all.
Never.
No, not at all. And I don't, and that doesn't, I probably have been fine with it, but there's no regrets at all.
Right.
It's just this, if you would have told me, Scott, if you would have told me 25 years ago that I would have had two girls and been a single dad most of the time raising the girls, I would have called you absolutely crazy, and there's no way, A, that would have happened, and there's no way, B, I would have enjoyed it. The opposite is true. I think I've done all right and have absolutely loved it, and there's no wishing someone was a boy or anything else. I just can't imagine it being much better than it is. So, no, I have no regrets. No regrets on that front either.
How about on the college front? What are your girls going to do for college? Are they planning on going? Or are they going to be workers?
My older one is a little non-traditional, and she is going to India, and she is going to be she has now got some certification to teach yoga, but she is going to be fully certified after this trip to teach yoga. So she is going there for 2 months. She has a $300 yoga course, and so that's her goal. She's kind of my free spirit. She was a former vegan. She lives to the beat of her own drum, and I love that about her. And so she's going to India, and she is going to be a yoga instructor, and she's got some other training with healthier living and healthier eating and things like that she's working on. My younger one will be a senior. And she is at Charlotte, a little bit more traditional as far as her studies go, but she's going to be a theater teacher.
Oh,
and that's what she wants to be. So she is not sure where she wants to be a theater teacher at. The challenge we have here is that North Carolina is one of the lower states in the way that teachers are treated and teachers are paid. And so she may explore some other areas, but she's going to be a theater teacher. And we've got music and theater and yoga. So we're going to be singing while we're healthy, I think it is.
So did you do any theater when you were young, Steve?
Yeah. No, I was in plays and musicals all through high school and into college and did all of that. So I did it. I wasn't any good at it, but I did it and jumped in and really enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then as she did plays and stuff during her high school tenure and in college now, I really enjoy it. We've, we did years ago. We were supposed to do a trip to New York to see some Broadway shows, and that worldwide pandemic knocked us out of that a couple of years ago. Years before that, we went up, and I really love I love all kinds of music, whether it's concerts, whether it's musicals, you know, and so really enjoy it, and just excited to see where that takes her. I think it's really, really neat, that's for sure.
You know, when I was in school, I was in radio and TV, and I was a duet actor. Duet acting was the thing. Yeah, and in fact, we traveled, and we took first place in one event in Sedalia one time. My partner and I, Phil Arnold, we did... I don't know if you remember the movie The Sunshine Boys. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
No, it's an old flick. But anyway, we took first place down there doing that. And, you know, I'm like you. I'm so proud of my daughters. You know, one of my daughters is a vet tech, and she assists the doctors doing surgeries on animals. And then my other daughter, she's the director of operations for a major golf course that owns the Nationals here in Kansas City. And they own like 200 golf courses around the country. And she's the director of operations in the food service business. And she's making a ton of money. I'm so proud of both of my kids. I'm like you. You know, I only reason I say that about having a son is because I didn't have that son. Neither one of my daughters wanted to race. And I had all these race car parts, right? When I quit racing at 50 years old, and I didn't have anybody to hand them down to. That was the problem for me.
Yeah, with all those race car parts, you would have, here's the thing, Scott, you'd be so far in debt with your son racing that you're much better off this way.
There's no doubt I'd still be broke, Steve.
You'd still be broke.
I'd still be broke.
You'd be trying to figure out a way to get that kid to the next race. You'd, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, did you get a chance to watch that race at Kokomo last night?
No, I didn't, Scott. I was tied up with summer shootout duties over at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Oh, that's right.
In fact, we got rained out on Monday night, so we had two rounds last night. So I didn't get done till about 10:15, 10:30. And then I just went home and zombied out. And just was I thought about punching on. I know there's... This is insane. Every night we can watch such a variety of racing.
Crazy.
But last night I just got home and zoned out. I was just like, okay, I'm done with that. But listening to you guys talk and seeing some highlights, Kokomo never disappoints. Boy, that place, that is one of my bucket list tracks that I've got to get to. But I want to get there for traditional sprint cars is what I want to get there for. Because that place always does good.
Unfortunately, Terre Haute got rained out tonight.
Yeah, I saw that also. So I saw that they got rained out.
Yeah.
I would love to go up and do that. I haven't spent a lot of time in the traditional sprint car world. If I ever went to do it, it would be I would like to go up for like this week, Indiana Sprint Speed Week, because I've been to Gas City and I've been to Putnamville, but I would love to hit Terre Haute. I would love to hit Kokomo, obviously. Circle City looks like a pretty neat place as well. I just think it'd be a fun week to go do it sometime, and maybe we'll put that on the bucket list as well somewhere down the road.
Yeah. All right. So let's just move over to the NASCAR side of things a little bit. And let's talk about the two cars that were disqualified that run first and second. Chase Elliott ends up getting the win. What I have a problem, Steve, with more than anything is these teams know that if they mess around with these cars – that they're going to get penalized, because NASCAR's made it very clear that if you tinker with these cars too much, the penalty is going to be severe. And I don't know why the teams don't understand that.
I struggle with that too, Scott, because it used to be there was a lot of gray area in NASCAR. And there still is when you work on your setups and your suspension pieces and stuff like that. You're still pushing things and trying to find things. But when it comes to these spec pieces, to me it seems very black and white.
Right.
Do not touch or alter.
Right.
I think, you know, I understand that, and I don't know. And unless I'm reading something wrong. Now the acceptance of the acceptance by Joe Gibbs Racing. See, and the other thing that was interesting of last week, there was a bulletin that NASCAR issued that directly said, don't put stuff on, these pieces, like Cape Odd Fishes. Right. You know, I mean, and the read of the Joe Gibbs acceptance of it is that it was a miscommunication there at the shop, and they didn't get a chance to fix it. You know, I mean, maybe so, maybe not. I mean, you know, you determine what you want to do. But, boy, I'm telling you, that was a big mistake. I mean, that was a big mistake. You know, a first-place finish and a second-place finish, I mean, you talk about, and NASCAR's been threatening to do that and threatening to do it, and they pulled the trigger on it. And I would guess, I could be wrong here, but I would guess they've got everyone's attention, I think. Don't touch the parts.
Right.
I don't know, but I would think so.
I'm not sure that message is received by everybody yet, to be honest with you. Yeah, because, you know,
I don't know what more I don't know what more you have to do, though, Scott.
Do you think that we're going to get to a point, Steve, to where the cars are going to have to come to inspection without the wrap on it, and they're going to have to put the wrap on it afterwards? Do you think we'll get to that?
No. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, when you look, they take the 38 car back, the Front Row Motorsports car back, and they've got tape all over the seams and everything else on it. So it's kind of sort of the same problem.
Yeah.
You know, the wrap is hiding all kinds of stuff, but the wraps are so important because it's the sponsorship on this thing. I don't know. I would hope that, you know, when these cars roll into Indy, the body parts are remaining as they were when they arrived at the shops. I would hope. You're talking a race win, a second place finish, 100 points, fines, suspensions.
Right.
I mean, do we need to ramp it up? I mean, I don't know.
No, you know, it's hard to get your head around a little bit, isn't it? The way these teams. They just listen with the new car, it's kind of cut and dry, right? It's not like you mentioned a few minutes ago, it's not the old school way of looking for those gray areas. NASCAR has this car and they've made it to where you're not supposed to touch certain elements of these race cars, right? We know that, and teams just continue to push the limit with NASCAR. You think this is a big enough message for everybody, you think, then?
I don't know. See, and I think that's a really good point. I think it's in the DNA of a lot of these crew members and crew chiefs and engineers. You know, they live working in the gray area.
Right.
And let's try it and let's do it. And I think they live there. And I think we need to change we need to change the way they think. I can't imagine we need to go higher with penalties and higher with things. We've just taken away a win the first time since 1960.
I know it.
Scott, that's 62 years, the first time since 1960 we've taken a win from a team.
Right.
I feel like maybe they got everyone's attention. I don't know, but I feel like it.
Yeah. The first time they've taken a win away for a car because they've been cheating. It's been 62 years ago. You know, Steve, that's how old I am, by the way, 62 years old.
See that exactly. In your life, depending on when they did it, that year in 1960,
right.
This might be the only time in your life they've done that.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Hey, I want to give a little shout out to Ty Gibbs. Man, that kid is a wheel man. He never made a lap in that car, right? Never made a lap in it.
Yeah.
And he goes out and he's just one spot out of the top 15. He runs 16th. What'd you think about Ty Gibbs' performance in that car?
I think Ty Gibbs had a really, really good weekend. And I'll start with that. I'll start with Sunday afternoon. I think he did a really nice job. The goal for Ty Gibbs driving that 45 car was complete 160 laps. Bring it back, not dinged up or dented up, and have nobody talk about you. You know, don't run into somebody. Don't cause that caution. Don't speed on pit road. Just keep your nose clean. Nobody even knows you're there until we look at the rundown and say, whoa, Ty Gibbs, 16th. Nice job.
Yeah.
He did that. His Saturday night was interesting because he arrives home after the Xfinity Series race, gets the call, and at 1 a.m. he goes to the simulator, the Toyota simulator, to get used to the dashboard, the braking system, the way the car feels. He ran simulation at 1 o'clock in the morning on the next-gen car because he never ran it. And to me, Scott, those are secondary to what I saw to Ty Gibbs. And I'm going to go back to Saturday's Xfinity Series race, okay?
Oh, that was
Saturday's
a great
Xfinity
race.
Xfinity Series race was a great race.
Great race.
And what made it great is you had Noah Gregson and Ty Gibbs battling for the lead. These are two young men that have both spent fair amounts of time stepping over the edge. You know, they've both ruffled some feathers on the track, off the track. They're young. They're full of piss and vinegar.
Right.
And they ain't scared to run you off the racetrack to win a race. And sometimes it's even been teammates that it's happened to with both of them. You had these two duking it out, and they even got side by side on the last lap, and they ran a hard-fought, clean race. And Ty Gibbs ended up finishing in the second spot. I actually think when I look at Ty Gibbs' weekend, I think I was most impressed with Saturday afternoon that him and Noah Gregson, another guy that steps over the edge, they completed that race and put on a great show without it getting ugly at the end. I think I look at what Ty did. Sunday was great. I look at the overnight effort he did. But to me, what he did on Saturday was even more impressive because, to me, with these young drivers, that for both of those guys was a good step in a good direction for him.
Because you would think that Ty would get in there and maybe kind of rough up Noah a little bit if it comes down to the win, right? You would think that that might transpire a little bit, but it didn't happen, and it was such a great victory for Noah. I thought that was a fabulous race on Saturday. I just can't believe it. Let me ask you this, Steve, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here a little bit, but I'm going to ask you, what ride do you think Ty Gibbs is going to end up driving? Do you have a feel or a pulse on which car that he might end up driving? Because he's the future of Joe Gibbs Racing, right?
Well, there's no doubt about it. He's going to be in a Joe Gibbs Cup Series Toyota.
Right.
The question is when and which one. I think Christopher Bell seems to be somewhat safe now. And he's young also.
Right.
I think Martin Truex Jr. My hunch is I'm watching that Martin Truex Jr. signing for another year, and to me that seems to be the way that I think he might end up going in Martin Truex Jr.'s filling in after Martin Truex Jr. in another year, because I really don't know that they want to put Ty in the Cup Series next year. Now, he had a good run on Sunday, and maybe that'll alter it. And we don't know what's happening with the big wild card in the room with Kyle Busch.
Right.
And so there might be something open. Here's the challenge if you're Joe Gibbs Racing, okay? Joey Logano, great young racer. From all accounts, they moved into Cup 1 year too early. That was when Tony Stewart stepped out of the number 20 car.
Right.
Joey Logano moves on, becomes a championship somewhere else. Fast forward, Daniel Suarez, Xfinity Series champion. Carl Edwards decides to step out. They advance Daniel Suarez to the Cup Series.
Too soon.
Maybe a year too early.
Yeah.
And he gets blown out over there. Now he's winning races over at Trackhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a history here at Joe Gibbs Racing of moving some guys up a little too quick. And I'll be anxious to see what happens if something does not get worked out with Kyle Busch, if indeed it is Ty Gibbs in that car. And granted, Ty Gibbs, with who his grandfather is not likely to get blown out like Joey Logano did, or like Daniel Suarez did,
right?
But it might be a longer, bumpier road to get to where he wants to go. And so I think that they've got to be conscious of that when they go. So back to your original question, I think Ty Gibbs right now, my guess would be in the ride that Martin Truex Jr. vacates in another year. That's my hunch.
Do you think Joey Logano, when they moved him up, they thought that Zippadelli was going to be able to mentor him and get him up to speed a little bit quicker? Do you think that was the
yes. But,
yeah.
Well, there was two things going on there, and I think that was something that could have happened. I think Greg Zippadelli is the person to do it. Here's the problem: Joey Logano was put in Tony's car. It was Tony's number 20. It was the Home Depot car. It was not iconic Richard Petty Dale Earnhardt, But it was a tier or two below that.
Right.
Okay. But it was not just your regular car. He's thrown in there. You've got all of the same mechanics that have this championship world-class driver, Tony Stewart.
Right.
Now they're working on this kid's car. He goes out and he dings up a car. He does something stupid. He was put in a very bad spot there.
Right.
And I think he was put in a bad spot because he was in Tony's car. The expectation in the building.
Right.
You know, he was told to us to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, he's turned out pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing since sliced bread struggled in his rookie year.
Right.
And most rookies do struggle in their first year. So
yeah.
I think Greg Zipidelli was capable of doing it. I think it was all those other factors that got involved. And I think that got verified when he leaves there. When we're going to start a new team at Penske Racing, this is your car. Joey's number 22, and we look what happened with him there. And by then, he was ready after those lessons learned at Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yeah. You brought up Christopher Bell. He ran fourth this week. It seems like for some reason the light bulb has come on with Christopher Bell a little bit more lately. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We are seeing more upfront time. We're seeing good qualifying efforts. He won the race at New Hampshire last week. I'm telling you where I'm sitting with this thing, and they seem to be the Joe Gibbs car that is mustering the most consistency also. You know, I'm really anxious to see what happens when we go road course racing this weekend, because when we were road course racing in Sonoma, the best Toyota was 18th.
Mm.
You know, so let's see what we have. I really like what Christopher's doing. He's got Adam Stevens as crew chief. Adam is a two-time championship-winning crew chief. And I think this is a combination that is really meshing well. And how about this? Five races from the playoffs, they could be someone that we might need to keep an eye on. If it's not a Chase Elliott or a Ross Chastain,
right.
I think Christopher Bell could be a guy that maybe even could carry the Toyota banner furthest in the playoff run. That's how good I think those guys are getting right now.
Right. We're visiting with Steve Post from Wing Nation and MRN. His appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve to come over here and be a part of the show each and every Wednesday right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Steve, so what are you going to do this weekend? You're just going to you're off this weekend. You're going to enjoy some quality time with your kids. And you're going to be on a beach, right?
Yeah, we're doing the beach. We're coming back on Saturday, though. So we're going to be down there this evening, tomorrow, Friday. And then Saturday morning, we're going to get up. And then I am going racing Saturday night. Hickory Motor Speedway, the cars tour, which is a great late model stock tour, they have their throwback race with all the old throwback paint schemes. And so I'm going up with a friend of mine, Tony Stevens, and doing his pay-per-view on Saturday night up at Hickory. Sunday, a day of rest, and then we get right back in it in the month of August for getting ready to go to Michigan next week. So and actually, Scott, next week at this time, I'll be headed to North Wilkesboro. Next Wednesday night, they're running the modifieds up there, reopening that place. So we've got a busy stretch coming up, so a couple of days on the beach, and then Hickory on Saturday night is the next race.
Will you be traveling during our normal time that we have you on the show next week? Will you be traveling?
No.
Okay.
No, I will make sure if I am, I'm pulled off the side of the road or whatever it is. It's an hour and a half drive up to North Wilkesboro.
Okay.
So I haven't looked at the schedule to see when I want to get up there. May call you from there, may call you somewhere between here and there, or may not leave yet. But no, there's no issue with it next week. That'll work out good.
All right, Steve, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on every Wednesday. Man, it means so much to us to have you come on, and I wish we could talk a little more about sprint car racing today, but we're just about out of time. So thanks again for coming on the show. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Okay, my friend?
We'll talk to you next week, Scott. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. Steve Post, the Postman. We're going to take a break. You're watching Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdowns. weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Want to remind everybody about the track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. It's going to be going on through October 1st. It's a tribute to Ascot Park in Gardena, California. It's no longer there. Just a big building standing where it used to be out there in Gardena. I mentioned I used to go to that racetrack back in the late 70s and early 80s. It was a great venue. And right now with this track tribute they have going on up at Ascot Park, they've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, several cars. I think 6, 8, 10, I'm not sure how many cars they have up there that raced at Ascot Park, so it's a great time to go up there right now. You can go up there through October 1st. Remember, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, folks. They're only closed on Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and New Year's Day. So besides those days, you can go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out the great tribute they have to Ascot Park that's going on right now. And while you're there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, do yourself a favor and buy you a raffle ticket for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they will be drawing the winning ticket on Saturday, August 13th during the Knoxville Nationals. Again, folks, this is only one of 1,000 cars that were made like this. This is a real race car, folks. It's an IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. Again, I saw one online sell for $150,000. Saw one on Barrett Jackson sell for $300,000. This car is very expensive. Plus, they're going to give you $25,000 to help you pay for the taxes as well. And while you're there, if you're going to do it, might as well buy another raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X Chassis 410 Sprint Car that they're going to be doing the drawing on Friday, December 16th, folks. They're going to be giving away this brand new Sprint Car, a complete turnkey 410 Sprint Car. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you could always buy a raffle ticket at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. And I forgot to mention that if you're going to do the Corvette, you can get a raffle ticket at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette, C8R, contest.com. And if you're up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, again, open 7 days a week, will you make sure you tell Bob Baker that you heard about all this on Mostly Motorsports with the Racing Boys? Austin, what are you going to do this week, bud? Are you going to help your buddy?
I am.
If they get the races in?
If they get the races in, that might be my plan. I'm not sure what I'm going to do just yet. I'm not sure. I got a little bit of maintenance stuff to do left on the car to get it.
Did you get the motor out?
No, that part shows up today. The strap we used to pull our engine was mysteriously misplaced, and I have not had it returned yet. So
You loaned it to somebody and it didn't come back?
Let's just say the engine builder might have it, but it's on its way. I just had to get a spare. So
yeah,
that shows up today. I'll get the motor out and do a little fuel maintenance and get ready to sit there and sit.
Hey, listen, if there's anybody out there that would like to help our boy Austin O'Neill, we would love to see that happen. And if we need to, if your business would like to help Austin O'Neill get a motor, rent a motor, whatever we got to do, we'll run your ad right here on Mostly Motorsports for free, just so you know. So if you are willing to help Austin O'Neill get back out on the racetrack, we'll run your ad for free right here on Mostly Motorsports. So there you have it, folks. We hope that you'll help him out, because we hate to see Austin sit. We like to watch him race. We're big fans of Austin, if you don't know. Austin, what did you? There was some late model racing going on last night up at Davenport, Iowa. Hudson O'Neill picked up the win last night. He beat Bobby Pierce and Devin Moran and Max Blair. And then our boy Mike Muller, was that his 17th or 18th consecutive top five? Do we know? I thought it was the 18th, but somebody said message board that it was the 17th, but I thought it was the 18th.
Doesn't matter which one it is. That's still remarkable.
It's a hell of a run, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Like, I don't know what to like say about it. I mean, that's just he's on a roll right now, and
yeah,
like I said yesterday, I bet he wishes right now he was points racing with Lucas Oil or the World of Outlaws, or XR. And
he'd be right in the middle of it, wouldn't he?
Because he would be, you know, probably leading it. Because, you know, I've kind of from what I've noticed from afar, that, you know, some guys will might win one night and have a bad night the next, like kind of like what we saw with Brandon Shepherd at right. I-70 where he blew up. So, you know, I think with this consistency, he would be right there, you know, with them. But, you know, he's made some pretty good money so far this year, and, you know, we can't argue with chasing money right now.
Maybe we'll reach out to him today and see if we can get him on tomorrow's show. What do you think? Can we do that?
It's up to you.
Yeah. Let's try to do that. Let's try to get a hold of Mike Marler and get him on the show. So happy for him, man. He's doing well. He's winning a lot of money. It's a good thing what's going on with Mike Marler right now. If you haven't heard, Terre Haute was rained out tonight, right? That was a bummer because I was hoping to see that race. You know who's really bummed out about that? I think Robert Blue's probably bummed out about that, wouldn't you think?
I think he's probably the most out of everybody, but... yeah, it's unfortunate. We've had, you know, a handful of rainouts with Sprint Week so far, and you know, it's some years where it's, you know, 110 degrees every day and no rain, or you get the years where it rains every day. So I guess we're kind of on the cycle where it rains almost every day out in Indiana. But from the racing that we've had in so far, it's been good, and hopefully they can, you know, maybe pick a day and make this race back up. I don't think they have a race until I think SmackDown at the end of next month. I'll check their schedule again. So they got plenty of time to try and make this up. But, yeah, I mean, if they can't make it up, it's what it is. And just going to miss out on a pretty good race.
I can hear Kirk clapping his legs back over there. Brandon Overton, he picked up the win last night down in Georgia at the Southern Nationals. He's I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's a three-time Southern Nationals champion. He won by... 1.5 seconds. There was 23 cars down there last night.
Yeah, pretty good night for Overton. Overton, you know, had a great year last year, and he was the talk of the dirt late model world, kind of like what we see with Brent Marks right now in the sprint car world. But, you know, he's had a good year this year, but, you know, we all expected him to come into the million and pick up where he left off last year, and he really didn't do that. And and besides that, he's had an all right year, but to go down there and pick up a pretty decent payday and a win is probably has to be a confidence booster right now after not having probably a start he would like to have at the start of this year.
Right. Tammy brings up a good point. Longhorn Chassis has been pretty dominant so far in the late model world this year, but that streak ended last night with the win with Hudson O'Neill driving a Rocket chassis. But the Longhorn has been the car to beat this year, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think you have to say so. I mean, one Longhorn's won $1.3 million. So, you know, and he's not the only one that's won a lot of money. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, Longhorn's definitely taking over the chassis world and late model racing, and it's kind of knocked Rocket off their mount.
Yeah, Alan Miller said Marler was up to second or third early, dropped back to sixth, and came up late in the race to get fifth. Well, that's good, man. We'll try to get old Mikey Marler on tomorrow and see if we can get him on the show. So pretty happy for him as well. All right, well, folks, thanks for tuning in to Mostly Motorsports today right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. It's just another day in paradise, right? We're just here every day, 12 noon Central Time. Just check in with us, hang out with us. We love having you there. We love interacting with our people on the chat room as well. So we hope to see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive.
It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.